Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's this morning. A very special welcome to our worship guests. Some family is in town and some visitors who are traveling through. We're glad that we're here and are able to share the good news of Jesus with you today. September starts in the church year. This Sunday is our first Sunday in September. And during the entire month of September, we're going to focus on working hard. Working hard at everything we do, taking everything that God has entrusted to us and really having at it with everything we have. We will carry that theme out through worship on the Sundays in September as well, and today Jesus has a tough order for you. He wants you to work hard at counting the cost of discipleship. And it's going to get very uncomfortable as Jesus will force you to do that in the gospel, and then we will dig deeper into that during the sermon today. But then we'll see that in Christ alone, we have the strength and we have the energy and we have the power to do just that, to give our all to Him in following Jesus, who withheld nothing from us. So may God bless us as we work on counting the cost of discipleship this morning. The order of worship that will follow is printed in the worship booklet for today. And we begin with a hymn out of the supplement, out of the blue hymn book, number 752. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church, and because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Lord calls Abraham to leave everything he has to follow him. Abraham counts the cost of following the Lord, and by the power that came from the Lord, Abraham said, yes, and he goes. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.
I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord. We join together to sing the psalm of the day, Psalm 19, on page 7. Second lesson is recorded in Philippians chapter 3. Here St. Paul shows us what counting the cost of discipleship looks at. You evaluate everything. Absolutely everything except Jesus is rubbish. Get rid of it so that you can hold on to Jesus, know him better, grow in your relationship with him, and get better at living for him. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews,
In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead.
This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14.
This lesson is the basis for the sermon this morning. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple."
This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 464. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. My sermon is based on the gospel for today from Luke chapter 14. We will refer to it during the sermon, and it begins on page 10 if you'd like to follow along as it's read throughout the service. I want to start by talking about that drive south out of Sacramento on Highway 99. And just before you get to Grant Line Road, on your right-hand side, there's this grouping of buildings. And it's a shopping center. It's like a lot of other shopping centers, only it's a lot better because it's an outdoor shopping center. There's lots of room, there's lots of space, there's lots of parking. The only problem is you drive past it and it looks like you suddenly arrived in some war-torn third world country. The buildings are all empty, and you can see right into all of them because none of them have any walls. Overgrown with weeds, there's chain link fence all around it, and right in the middle, there's this iron tower that sticks up, and it is not finished either. And this tower says to everyone, someone started, but nobody finished. And it leaves all the passersby to answer that question for themselves. They started it, they didn't finish because they ran out of money. They wanted to do something else. It just wasn't going to work. But you get to answer that question for yourself. The truth is, there is a lot of truth in the economic downturn. And there's plans, there's big plans for this center. Maybe a casino or a movieplex in connection with some sort of shopping. But for now, somebody counted the cost. And it wasn't worth it to finish. So they stopped. And now there are big, glorious, empty buildings. Letting all of you know, it wasn't worth it to me to finish. And now the really hard question of the day is this. Is that what your discipleship looks like too? Is that what your discipleship, your following Jesus, your learning from Him, your loving Him, your living for Him and with Him, is that what it looks like? A great big tower that is not finished. And everyone who walks by you, drives by you, looks at you, has to wonder, why is it like that? And there's lots of different excuses, there's lots of different reasons that we could offer up as to why our relationship with Jesus looks like that. And I think if we dare to take Jesus' illustration a step further, my guess is that your relationship with Jesus isn't like just one tower. It's probably like a big city. And inside this city, you probably have some brand new luxury buildings, and they're great, and they're glorious, and they're modern. And then probably on the other side of your city, you have some decades-old buildings, and you've taken really good care of them, and you've updated them, and you've maintained them, and they're really nice-looking buildings too, and they're functional, they're operational. And then you probably have blocks and blocks of just average, ordinary buildings, and those are good too, because you take care of them. But then here and there throughout your city, there are probably buildings that look just like the Elk Grove Promenade. And people who drive by them say, why didn't you finish that? Why didn't you care? And then you have to answer to God for that someday too. Why didn't you finish that? Why didn't you care? There's parts of our relationship with Jesus and our discipleship where we count the cost and it's not worth it to us to keep going. And so we stop. And there are these great, big, ugly, unfinished buildings because we didn't count the cost, or we did and decided we're not going to finish them. And then you start throwing up all your excuses. You know, come on, it was a business deal, Jesus. It's not like I can do all of these things all the time in every area of my relationship with you. It's just not going to happen. Or maybe you tell Jesus, well, it's a financial decision because, you know, I'm young and I'm just starting out. I don't have earning power yet. Or I'm old and I'm past my peak earning years.
So when things level out a little bit, then I'll be able to do a little bit more. Or maybe it's a relationship thing, Jesus. And I've counted the cost, and I'm not going to ruin that relationship right now. Or maybe it's a pleasure decision. Well, you know, come on, Jesus, I like doing that. And does God really expect you to maintain every aspect of your relationship with Him all the time, every area? Does He really expect you to count the cost of discipleship all the time? Jesus rolls up all of our excuses into one. Whether it's practicality, I just can't do it, or changing morality, what was not okay then is okay now, Jesus, that's just how it is. Or whether it's financial or willpower or whatever, Jesus wraps them all up into one. It's a counting the cost of discipleship issue. Luke told us large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me," and at this point, everybody is so excited. Everybody is so excited to be with Jesus, and they're seeing the miracles, and they're listening to Jesus, and this is great. Yes, we are your disciples, Jesus. Yes, we love you, Jesus. But then he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And can you hear the deafening hush? You know, nobody is saying anything. And you can see their furrowed brows at this point too, and they're puzzled. And they're saying, "Did he really just say that to us?" And it didn't get any easier. "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower," Jesus said. "Will he not first sit down and consider the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' In the same way, any of you who do not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." You know, it was easy for the crowd to say it. It was easy to say, "We love Jesus. We are his disciples." It was a lot harder for them to do it. It was easy when it was following the nice guy from Nazareth, you know, when everybody was happy and everything was going great, and then Jesus says, "If you're not willing to give up everything, you can't be my disciples." And you got to wonder how many people put their hammers down and stopped building their buildings right then, right there. How many lumber orders were canceled? How many workers were sent home early? Because that's it. We've counted the cost of following Jesus, and he's asking too much. And we're done, and we're going to leave it just like that. And how many towers were left behind when Jesus went from place to place saying, "If you don't give up everything, you can't be my disciples"? In the same way, any of you who will not give everything he has cannot be my disciple, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In the same way, any of you who will not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Good choices, bad choices, business decision, pleasure decision, changing morality decision, family relationship decision, I just like sin decisions. Jesus says, if you're not ready to give up everything, you can't be my disciple. It's easy to say, it's difficult to do. Jesus says, here's the test. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, obviously, Jesus is using hyperbole to make a point, right? You know, Jesus loved his mom. Jesus took really good care of his mom. Even on the day he was dying, he loved his mom. He loved his friends. He loved his disciples. He loved his brothers and sisters, but he never once let any of them stand between him and doing his Father's will. Not once. Jesus always counted the cost of doing God's will. And this deal about hating your own life, Jesus wants you to be happy. He gave you your life. Jesus wants you to be successful. He gives you time. He gives you talents. He gives you energy. Jesus wants you to work hard. He gives some of you a lot of money.
He gives some of you a lot of really nice things. And others of you, he gives a lot of contentment when you just work hard and it doesn't matter what you have. But Jesus doesn't want any of that standing between you and your relationship with him. And the second it does, Jesus says, you got to count the cost. Because you are not my disciple when you let family or money or stuff or pleasure or sin or anything stand between you and God. And when you count the cost and say, well, I kind of want that. Jesus says, you can't be my disciple. You've counted the cost and it's just not worth it to you. Here's St. Paul's commentary on counting the cost. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Everything other than knowing Christ and growing in his relationship with Jesus and living for him, St. Paul said, I don't want any of it. I only want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And do you think Paul got himself there on his own? And do you think St. Paul never stumbled on this? And do you think there were times that he stopped building his buildings? Of course there were. None of this came from St. Paul. You read his letters and he's the first one to tell you, I am worthless. I am nothing without Christ. That's the power of Christ's resurrection in Paul's life. We sang it as we started worship. In Christ alone, Paul was strong. In Christ alone, Paul considered everything else rubbish, trash. Anything he had, any money he made as a tent maker, any fame and publicity he had as a speaker, as a pastor, he wanted none of it. He wanted to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection in his life, and he wanted to live for Jesus. By God's grace, St. Paul was forgiven, and he was able to count the cost. And he said, I don't want any of it. I want to know Jesus and follow him and live for him. And God promises he'll get you and he'll get me there too. Because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to count the cost of discipleship. And it's hard when we look at the buildings that we've left behind because for whatever reason, and you know what they are, you counted the cost and you said, I don't want that right now, Jesus. I want this. Maybe it was weakness. Maybe it was sin. Maybe it was a family relationship. Maybe it was pride. It doesn't matter. But the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives is we look at that and we say, Jesus, forgive me for those times that I counted the cost and it just wasn't worth it to be your disciple. And then Jesus says, I love you. I forgive you. And then we get to look at all the towers that he built and they're perfect. They're flawless. And those are towers that he built for you and for me because we can't have a perfect relationship with God. And we do fail him. And we do count the cost and say, I'm not going to do it today, Jesus. Jesus never did that. And that's the perfect life that he offered up to God for you and that he offered up to God for me. And he died to take away all the guilt and shame that these buildings represent as we look past them and other people look past them. It's all forgiven. Because in place are all these perfectly built buildings that Jesus has built for you and for me. St. Paul said, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the power of Christ's resurrection in your life and in mine. We not only say we're his disciples, but we do it and we realize it's worth the effort. It's worth the hard work. Here's another way that St. Paul explained it in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. In Christ alone, we are eager to do what is good for God. In Christ alone, we want to count the cost of discipleship, and we say, there is nothing better. You know, and man, just think what those buildings are going to look like when Christ lives in us because he does. And just think what those buildings are going to look like when we work hard that every area of our relationship with God, and we build them one by one because Christ lives in us. It's hard work, but it's worth the effort. And then just think what it's going to be like when we get to leave all this behind and we get to go to a perfect place with a perfect Savior and build perfect buildings with Jesus forever. It's worth the effort in the end. May God bless you as you count the cost of discipleship. May God bless you in your relationship with Jesus. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. Let us confess our faith together to strengthen and encourage one another and to witness our faith this morning. We do so with the words of the Nicene Creed on the bottom of page 10.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated as the offering is collected. Thank you.
Our prayer of the church this morning is the responsive prayer on page 12 in the worship booklet. We have been asked to remember the family and friends of Gary Bogue. Gary is the son of Helen Giese. Gary passed away yesterday after a battle with cancer. So we praise God for relieving him and taking him home to himself. And we also offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for Maria Burright, who earlier in the week suffered a heart attack and had a brief stay in the hospital, and now she is at home further recovering. So we praise and thank God for doing that for her and being with her. And finally, we have also been asked to remember Pastor Ken Bartelt, as he is going to begin Sunday services next Sunday at a new church effort called Living Water Lutheran Church. And so we, Pastor, asked that we would bless those efforts as they have their first worship service next Sunday. With those thoughts and our brothers and sisters in mind, let us pray. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember and mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need, and to help them with peace and kindness.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing upon Pastor Bartelt and his efforts. We ask that you bless the word of God that he shares next Sunday. We ask that you move the hearts of many to attend worship, and then send those who attend back out into the community to bring more and more in. Please bless Pastor and Living Water Lutheran Church. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in times of celebration, but we also come to you in times of sadness and sorrow. So we ask that you be with the family and friends of Gary Bogue, especially with his mom, our sister Helen Giese. We ask that the good news of eternal rest, rest from cancer, rest from all the struggles of this life, would lighten Helen's heart and give Gary's family and friends hope and confidence of one day being reunited in heaven. Thank you that Gary rests from his labors and blesses friends and family as they mourn. We also thank you for the victories that you bring into our life. So we thank you that you safely saw Maria through her recent hospital stay. We ask that you continue to help her get stronger. We ask that you be with her as she will go back to work. We join her friends and family in celebrating. Please continue to bless Maria and her husband, James, and their family. We now ask, Lord, that you hear us as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we also join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom.
and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand as we make our preparation to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We thank God for having fed us with his word and with this holy supper this morning. We do so with the song of thanksgiving on page 15. Please stand. The prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, verses 1, 5, and 6 of hymn 469. Good morning again to everyone. May Jesus bless you as you count the cost, and may you enjoy Jesus giving you the strength then to go and work on your relationship with him and have confidence in your relationship with him. I have some announcements that I've been asked to highlight for you. The first is, and these are on the announcement sheets, the first is Sunday Fun Day. That is putting up a booth down at Rush Park and handing out freebies to people as they come by to start a conversation about St. Mark's, to get St. Mark's out into the community. Mr. Mike Roush, who is heading up that effort, needs your help. So take a look at that announcement. That is on September Sunday, the 25th at Rush Park. And contact Mike Roush if you would like to go out into our community to introduce St. Mark's to people. I've also been asked to highlight the midweek Bible study opportunity that we have. That is at the home of Keith and Donna Williamson, and that is Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Okay, there's 7 o'clock in the announcement sheet, so show up at 6 o'clock at the home of Keith and Donna Williamson for Bible study. There's also a congregational meeting next Sunday during the Bible study hour. Please make an effort to stay a little bit late or come a little bit early for worship so that you can attend that meeting. Here it is. I thought I left it in the other room.
Catechism starts next Sunday at 12:30, so as quickly after second service as we can. And I ask that the parents of the students stick around and attend the first couple classes with us. So youth confirmation starts next Sunday at 12:30. Also, if you participate in the LWMS offering box mission work, those offerings are due this Sunday, so stop by the LWMS bulletin board and give your mite offering there. And finally, the Board of Stewardship thanks you for allowing us to commandeer the entire month of September for stewardship emphasis. We are going to welcome Pastor John Stern here in 2 weeks, and he will help us talk about sanctified stewardship, let us know what's going on a synodical level, and he is also the person to get you into contact for tax-wise giving and estate planning and endowment fund giving here at St. Mark's. So we have some exciting stewardship things coming up. And next service, Mr. Mark is going to, from the Board of Stewardship, is going to share his letter with you. So they asked if I would share it with you after this service. So instead of Mark Benson, you get me representing the Board of Stewardship. So thank you for giving me a few minutes to share with you what's going on at St. Mark's in the month of September. First, September is Stewardship Month. We want you to focus with us on working hard at our stewardship of all God has gifted us and entrusted to us. Our time, energy, gifts, skills, talents, and financial resources. Work hard to be the best steward of these gifts you can. First, to glorify God. Second, to support our ministry and share Jesus with our community. And finally, it just feels good to know you serve God well in response to his love for you and Jesus. Second, we would like to give you a brief snapshot of our financial picture. To date, we are approximately $19,000 behind budgeted income through the first 2 months of the fiscal year. What other use of your financial gifts from God will have an eternal, lasting impact on you, your friends, your church family, and all those who we will reach with the gospel? When we give offerings, we worship God. Work hard at encouraging one another. Work hard at getting behind our ministry. It's tempting to say if we only have more members or more people in worship or new members, which we are working hard at, by the way, we would meet our financial goals. However, you and I are here now. God has gifted us the opportunity to financially support our ministry. Work at it with all your heart. Third, although it's early, it's time to begin thinking about your 2017 offering commitment. What adjustments can you make to increase your offerings? What setbacks have caused you to cut back on your offerings? Have you spoken with a financial advisor about making tax-wise gifts to your church? Have you remembered to include St. Mark's and your synod in your estate planning? Pastor Schmidt can help you through those decisions and get you in contact with synodical resources to help you plan and maximize your offerings. We've made an improvement to the commitment making process this year to increase participation in the process, to make the commitment process easier for you, and to ensure greater accuracy in recording commitments and to save on paper mailing expenses. The Board of Stewardship is offering an electronic commitment option. Beginning next Sunday, kiosks or Chromebooks will be set up in the lobby and in the library, if you would prefer more privacy, for you to make your 2017 offering commitments. There will also be a link on our website should you like to make your commitment from home. Those who do not make an electronic commitment will be mailed a paper packet. It's starting early so that we can field test the online form and see how that goes. Work hard at worshiping God with your financial stewardship. Work hard at funding our ministry. Some of you have asked what to do if you have made a 7% commitment increase now that Pastor Stray has left. Our plan is to stay on the path to fully funding a full ministry team, which at this time includes two pastors. Work hard at moving our ministry forward. May Jesus bless your efforts to work hard in the area of stewardship of all your gifts. Thank you again for your time this morning, and may Jesus bless our ministry together in his name. So again, the board thanks you for some time, and do shoot your questions and comments to Dan Heidemann. He's the chairman of the board, and I'm the pastoral advisor to the board, so we welcome your comments and feedback. Thanks again for your extra time. Visit with one another, please, before you're ushered out, and I'll greet you one more time in the lobby.